Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. On Monday, the World Anti-Doping Agency barred Russia from competing in international competitions for 4 years, including the 2020 Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo and the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. It's the latest and most severe punishment in a years-long scandal that began in 2016 when revelations came out about a state-run doping program that implicated dozens of Russian athletes in the 2014 Winter Olympics. Russia is appealing the decision. Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, while admitting that doping is a problem in Russia, dismissed the penalty as, quote, anti-Russian hysteria. But the ban has several loopholes built in, and some former Olympians and members of the anti-doping agency argue that it does not go far enough to deter the Russians from future cheating. Joining me now is Tariq Panja, who covers international sports for the New York Times. Tariq, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you.
So what exactly are the details of the ban when it comes to participating for Russian athletes?
The headline figure is strong. It's Russia has been banned from international sport for 4 years. What that means is Russia as a nation, Russia as a team, is banned from the major championships. So you mentioned the Olympics. Then you would have something like, say, the Soccer World Cup in Qatar in 2022. However, the loophole that some athletes are uncomfortable with is there is a lot of scope here for Russian athletes to actually be present. These are athletes who are not implicated in the doping scheme.
Tariq, how do we know who's implicated? Is there drug testing happening at the event itself? Is there a rigorous form of finding out who and who isn't implicated in this?
According to the World Anti-Doping Agency, they had a whistleblower database that was leaked to them in 2017. And that featured thousands of Russian athletes, and they're from 2011 to 2015, their blood profiles. And in that group, they identified about 200 or so suspicious profiles. And because Russia have manipulated this data, they say 145 of these cases they cannot probably resolve because the data is so badly damaged. Anyone on that database cannot now appear in future sporting events, they say. Of those, about a third are still active. However, there's been so much disinformation from the Russian side. You know, this saga has dragged on really since 2014, to be honest with you, which was when a German documentary first aired these allegations. Knowing who is and who isn't clean is going to be really tough.
Remind us again the scope of the quote-unquote doping scandal with Russian athletes. What exactly was Russia doing with or to its athletes to get to this point?
This was an industrial-scale cheating operation, the like of which we haven't seen in terms of sophistication. We had similar schemes in the 80s with the, you know, former East German athletes, for example, where the state was heavily involved. But here in modern times, Russia, at least between 2011 and 2015, was allowing and participating in a program to provide performance-enhancing drugs to scores of athletes across a range of sports and hiding their profiles, essentially disappearing positive tests. That program reached its peak at the Sochi Winter Olympics. This was a big statement of intent, both from a hosting point of view, but also from a performance point of view. Russia swept the board at those games, but it then turned out that Russia every night launched these clandestine operations on the drug testing laboratory at those games. These guys would sneak in and would replace dirty urine samples with clean samples under the cloak of darkness.
Tariq, you said, again, this goes beyond the Olympics. And I'm wondering, how does this affect Russian athletes? Does it complicate their ability to train and get ready for certain sports if they're assuming that they may not be able to play?
Absolutely. This raises uncertainty for hundreds of Russian athletes because this ban is across all signatories to the World Anti-Doping Agency code. And that really involves all of the major sports. In fact, the process in which they're going to weed out which athletes are eliminated and which are allowed to perform, that hasn't been concluded yet. Those talks need to happen. But one place we can look is track and field. track and field's governing body has barred Russia unilaterally since 2015 for this doping program. It's the only global sport or organization that really has held the line, has been so angered by what Russia has done.
Why aren't other sports as rigorous?
You need to look at the architecture of global sports and where Russia as a state fits into this. Russia, for example, sponsors a lot of international federations. Russia hosts a lot of their events. Russia has influential members on their boards. So a lot of this is tied in a way to Russian personal relationships and Russian financial relationships. So to be honest with you, what we can describe this as is sort of sport politics writ large.
You mentioned sports politics, but I really want to tie this to politics here. We read at the top a quote from Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev calling these penalties, quote, anti-Russian hysteria. Is he referring to what's happening here in the United States and our political backdrop of Russia? What's he talking about there?
And it's not just what's happening in the United States. Russia has been implicated across the board for a number of years for example, in the Brexit vote, disinformation campaigns, etc., Facebook ads, funding parties, etc. And this kind of feeds into it. And Russia has always claimed that it has never done what it's been accused of doing, yet the evidence is mounting up. This is all part of this sense of this disinformation campaign. And also at home, this is important. In Russian TV, there's been, especially on these Kremlin TV channels, they've kind of stoked public anger by saying this is another invention by the West, invention by the Europeans to eliminate Russia from sports because they don't want to compete against a strong rival. They've also tried to fabricate this whole scheme as limited to the whistleblower, Grigory Rodchenkov, and a small group of people. You know, they've created sowed confusion in Russia and outside of Russia and tried to sort of create this fervor and patriotism that it's Russia against the world. And this is just another example of it.
Well, and to that point, I mean, we've seen historically that there have been countries that have used international sporting events to sort of boost their international image, despite what's happening politically. We look at the 1936 Summer Olympics in Nazi Germany, or General Augusto Pinochet holding a World Cup match in Chile in the 1970s. Are countries still using sports as a form of boosting their reputations around the world, despite their questionable, at best, political practices at home?
Absolutely. And I'd say hugely so, perhaps even more so than ever before. The next Winter Olympics is going to be in Beijing 2022. China used the 2008 Summer Olympics as a huge coming out party for the state there. We have the Qatar 2022 World Cup in the Middle East. It's hard to look beyond any of these events as anything more than political. And it goes as far as winning medals, as Russia have tried to do by cheating the Sochi World Cup. And the issue you have here are sporting bodies who are coming under pressure from, I dare say, more democratic nations, where the public are getting frustrated at the amount of public money being spent to host sporting events like the Olympics.
Tariq Panja is an international sports reporter for The New York Times. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.